Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you can't catch the program live, you can always listen to the podcast. Those are available at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm and iTunes, really any place that you like to get podcasts. And that goes for all of the programming that you find here on Trumpet Radio. Well, I had an experience the other week that you probably have had at some point as well. My family and I were enjoying a relaxing morning on the weekend, and the doorbell rang. Now, we were not expecting anybody, so that was a bit of a surprise. And when we looked out the window, we saw a vehicle parked on the road and several groups of people walking through the neighborhood dressed fairly nicely and carrying, I think, Bibles. And some of them were ringing our doorbell. Well, we knew that they wanted to come and give us some type of religious message. And some groups do that. They go door to door and knock on people's doors and want to talk to them. Well, Christ didn't do that when he was on this earth. You can read in Mark 1 and verse 14 that Christ's message, the message he preached, was the gospel of the kingdom of God. He preached that gospel. But notice this. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that if you haven't already. It says, Jesus was sent to announce that message. Again, the message of the kingdom of God, the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was sent to announce it, not force men to accept it, believe it, and act upon it. Never did Jesus plead with a single one to be converted. He just announced the good news of the kingdom of God and then left it to the Father to call, through that announcement and his Spirit, those whom he would select. And you can read about that in John 6 and verse 44. No one can come to Christ unless God the Father calls them. Their minds have to be open to the truth. Christ did not, it says, come to convert the world. He did not start a soul-saving crusade. He came to announce the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And yet today there are Christian groups, as they would identify themselves, that do try to go on some sort of soul-saving crusades. You know, some people go on different missions places. Other people feel like, well, they should walk up and down the streets of a neighborhood and ring people's doorbells. And, of course, very literally, there were the crusades that occurred in history. I think you know some about that. And if you think about the results of past crusades, 1 to 3 million people died. And the reason for those, of course, was trying to not necessarily convert people to a religion as much as gain control and power over peoples. And sometimes religion was used to do that. So it's important to understand the message that Christ brought, but also the way in which he delivered it. Let's look at an example here in Mark 1. Mark 1. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out and look at some of these passages. And if not, write them down maybe and look at them later. It's good to look it up in your own Bible and see what the Word of God says. Mark 1 and verse 14, it says, Now after John was put in prison, this is talking about John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That was the message, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Now, Christ did tell people that they needed to repent and they needed to believe the gospel. He gave them that message. Christ told people to believe the gospel that he was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so true Christians must first be called by God the Father. We saw that in John 6 and verse 44. And then once they're called, then they must repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. But again, God the Father is the one that does the calling. Christ didn't go out and plead and beg and try to convert the world. He gave them the message, and the message that he gave them was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he did say that people must repent and be baptized, but he also understood that God calls every man in his season, and most are not called yet today. But every person that does enter the kingdom of God, and that opportunity is open to all mankind, again, in their season. Once their minds are open, once God does call people, then they do have to repent and be baptized and believe the gospel. The Correspondence Course says the gospel of Jesus Christ is not man's gospel about the person of Christ. Right? That's such an important point. We've talked about that before, but it's important to reiterate again. It's not about the person of Christ. It's the message that Christ taught. I've had other experiences where I've had people come up to me randomly and say, "Have you found Jesus?" And I responded by saying, "I think so." It's one of those situations where it's a little awkward and you don't want to make a scene out of it. But they're asking, "Have you found Jesus?" Well, the question is, has God the Father called you? Has God called us? If God has called us, then yes, we better understand what Christ taught. Understand what he taught. Many people think that, well, you just have to say the name of Jesus or accept it and proclaim your belief that he is the Savior, and that's all there is to it. But of course, that's not all there is to it. We do need to know who Christ was and who he is and what he did and what he also does. He's a very living, powerful God being today. He's our advocate, the advocate of God's people and the high priest of God's people. And so he does have very specific jobs today, but you don't hear a lot about that either, because people get so caught up in the person of Christ. But again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not man's gospel about the person of Christ. It is Christ's gospel, the gospel Jesus preached, the gospel God sent by him. And therefore, the Course says, it is also called in Scripture the gospel of God. Now, the gospel of God is God's gospel. It's his message, his good news, which he sent by Jesus. Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's look at a passage here in John 12. John 12, we will see who gave the gospel message to Christ. See, there's a government structure here. Just like people have to be called in a proper way according to God's government, as it says in John 6, verse 44, you can also read about it in Jude. There's a process to it. There's also a governmental process into how this message was delivered. John 12, verse 49 and 50, it says, this is Christ speaking, "For I have not spoken of myself." Christ didn't come giving his own ideas or his own thoughts about things. He didn't speak of himself. He says, "But the Father," God the Father, his Father, our Father, "but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know," verse 50, "that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And what a great example. Christ is our perfect example. He perfectly followed the government of God. His Father told him what to speak, and that is what Christ spoke. Could we be that diligent? If God gave us a specific task, would we fulfill it? I mean, even say our boss at work or somebody in authority over us, if we are given a task, do we fulfill it that well? That's a very, very important lesson from this passage. We're looking, of course, at the fact that God the Father gave the gospel message to Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. But also just look at the point of how Christ perfectly followed God's government. Perfectly. It's amazing to think about. I mean, I think the prevailing attitude in society today would be very different than that, wouldn't it? You know, if somebody said, "I want you to speak these words," most people would think, "Well, say what I want to say. You can't tell me what to say." That is sort of the spirit, isn't it? because Satan is the god of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. But Christ, of course, had the Spirit of God. He did what God the Father said perfectly. And so God the Father sent Christ with the gospel of the kingdom of God. Christ is God's spokesman, the Word that was made flesh. Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion about who the Word was, who Christ was. As much as people talk about Christ, they don't really understand who he even was in many ways. But he was the Word. You can read about that in John 1. He was the Word. And he came to this earth. He became a human being to be a sacrifice for all mankind and to preach this gospel of the kingdom. And he was made flesh. The Word became flesh. He became Christ. And so God the Father sent Christ with the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's look here at Luke 16 and verse 16. Luke 16 and verse 16. It says, "The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." So according to the Bible Correspondence Course here, it says the law and the prophets, that's referring to the Old Testament scriptures, were preached until John the Baptist began his special ministry. And after John's mission was over, Jesus began proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so that gospel of the kingdom began to be preached at that time. After John's mission, Jesus began proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. We've seen that the gospel message is the message of the kingdom of God, the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God. God the Father gave that message to Jesus Christ. Christ came to this earth and delivered it perfectly. He didn't go trying to convert everybody or have a crusade. He preached it. He preached that message. And of course, most did not accept it. He understood also that God the Father had to call people. As many as the Father calls, those are the ones that Christ would work with specifically. And there were 120 that were faithful when Christ died, that were following him and following God the Father. And so, again, we see a government structure all through this process here. The gospel message, what it's about, the kingdom of God. Who gave it? God the Father, down through Jesus Christ. How are people called to understand and believe the gospel and repent? Well, they're called by God the Father. It's a very clear government structure here in how this message works and how it's delivered and what it's about. Because after all, the message is about the kingdom of God. There's government there. There's government in the way the message is delivered. There's government in the way that it is spoken about, who delivers it, how you deliver it, when you deliver it, what you talk about. There's a government of God here, a government of God. And so when we talk about the gospel of the kingdom of God, notice some of the things that it includes. There's a lot involved here. The Correspondence Course, again, says this. Christ's gospel is the prophetic proclamation of the coming world government. We've been talking a lot about the government today. The coming world government to rule all nations and bring today's confused, chaotic, war-weary earth peace and joy. Even if we stop and think about how confused religion is today, how come some people go door to door? How come some people go on soul-saving crusades? How come some people go on missions? How come? Where's the government structure? What's the thing that's supposed to be done? Well, God the Father gives it very clearly. But yet people aren't even giving the true gospel message of Christ. They're talking about Christ, not what he said. And so the government of God is not being understood or followed. The quote continues, "Of course, the message from God includes the knowledge about our Savior, High Priest, and coming King. So we do need to know about Christ. Again, we need to know who he was before he was Christ. He was the Word. We need to know about what he did at that time. He was the God of the Old Testament. He was the God that talked to Israel. We need to understand what he did when he came to this earth, what his purpose was, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and being the Savior of all mankind. And he revealed the Father as well. And then what does he do today? What does the glorified Christ do? Well, of course, there's a lot involved there as well. So we need to understand those things. The gospel message of the kingdom, of course, also includes the true way of salvation. Again, there's a path to it. Repent and be baptized and believe the gospel. But again, God has to call people first, John 6 and verse 44. And then that process must be gone through. The true way of salvation, it says, which the churches of this world do not understand. That's why there is so much confusion, as we mentioned. The quote continues and says, it also includes, this gospel message, it includes knowledge of the location of the territory to be ruled over by the king of the coming kingdom of God. The fact that it will be on this earth and not in heaven. People think that they go to heaven if they're good, right? There's a lot of misunderstanding in that. That's a whole other program. But that's the thought. Well, they're going to go, people think that they're going to go to heaven. But the kingdom of God is going to rule on this earth. The nations of this earth will be ruled by the kingdom of God. It'll be a different earth than what we see today, that's for sure. A much improved earth in every way. But the kingdom of God is going to rule on this earth. That's something most people don't understand. The quote says, but there can be no government without laws, right? What would we govern by if there were no laws to enforce? There will be laws. People want to act sometimes like, well, Christ was just okay with anything. Just as long as you love people as they would view it, everything's A-okay. Christ taught the law of God, and he followed it perfectly. Why was he perfect? He perfectly followed the law of God. There's a standard, there's a set of rules, and he did them and revealed more about them. He expounded upon them. He took them from the letter of the law only to also now the spirit of the law. Adultery isn't just the actual act, it's the lust in the mind. He got deeper with these laws of God. So there's law that is in the kingdom and government of God. And that law, when applied, will bring peace and everything good to those living in the world tomorrow, and success, happiness, and joy to the individual who keeps God's law now. It's a great little mental exercise sometime if you've got some time and you are thinking about something, to think about maybe a problem in this earth, and then think about a law, one of God's laws, that if kept would eliminate that problem. There's not a problem that you can think of in this world that can't be solved with the keeping of God's law. Some people have tried to say differently, but it's not true. Just stop and think about it. Any problem that could come up, the law of God solves it. But people have to follow that law. This quote continues and says, the true gospel, so again, this is the gospel of the kingdom of God, has to do with the nations of today's world. World conditions today, and Christ's reign over all nations in the world tomorrow. It's very specific for our day today because we have to understand prophecy. We have to understand the politics and the geopolitics of this world. What's happening? Where are events leading according to God's word? That's all part of that gospel message because God's kingdom, God's government, is going to reign over the nations of this earth at the appointed time, at Christ's return. And Christ talked about events, and other prophets talked about events that would occur up to the return of Christ and leading to his return. So that's part of that wonderful gospel message as well. You can begin to see how much is involved in really understanding the gospel of the kingdom of God. The quote finishes and says, it is a full, complete, dynamic, and powerful gospel which had been kept from the world for 19 centuries by the god of this world, Satan the devil. Revelation 12 and verse 9, you can look at that. Satan the devil, he hates this message. Why? Because he's currently the god of this world, and he's about to be replaced by Christ and the kingdom of God. Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means there are kings and lords, king priests, that rule under him, that are being prepared right now for that job. That's according to your Bible. And so Satan hates that. He does not want to be replaced. Look at leaders in this world, dictators. If somebody threatens their power, what do? Well, they unleash war, don't they, usually, to try to quell the uprising because they want to retain power. Satan's the same. He wants to retain power. He doesn't want to lose it. And so that's why he buries this gospel message. If he can get people to think that the gospel is just some sort of a nice message about Christ and he was our Savior and we just have to be nice to each other and something sort of murky like that, well, then mission accomplished for him, because the law of God, the government of God, God's plan for mankind, the kingdom that is coming, people don't think about that. It gets murky. It gets lost, and Satan's the master at confusing people. That's why Christ warned in Matthew 24 that many would come in his name saying that Christ is Christ, talk about the person of Christ, but not talk about his message. And that's what has happened for 19 centuries until it began to be preached about 100 years ago. Herbert W. Armstrong began preaching the true gospel of the kingdom of God. And so we really need to make sure we understand the full meaning of the kingdom of God. When we talk about the kingdom of God and the government of God, we need to really understand all of that and how it all ties together. The law of God, the government, the kingdom, what's all included in there? There's so much to think about when it comes to the gospel of the kingdom of God. And Christ knew and he taught full well that God the Father has to call people in their season for their minds to really be opened to this truth and for them to understand it. Christ didn't plead and beg. He didn't say, well, you know, please believe me now. He just said, look, you're going to have to believe the gospel and you're going to have to repent. But he understood also that it was every man in his season God would call in certain stages. And so if your mind's being opened up to God's truth, then God is calling you. And then you do have to follow Christ's instructions and make sure that you really do drill down into the Word of God and understand this gospel and believe it. Believe it and then support his work in getting this message to the world with that focus on the warning today. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I appreciate it. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.